Let's go, LSU fans. We will be live this Saturday at the Shreveport Card Show at the Aero Sports and the Fieldhouse, 735 American Way in Shreveport, Louisiana. Won't be doing a stream, but we will be set up. I'm giving out a good bit of my collection because that's what we do as we head into season. I love going to card shows right before football season begins. I'll have my full collection there. If you want to buy my full collection, sorry. but a man has a price. But I'm really excited about that. And we'll be joined by a first-time guest here in just a moment to tell you a little bit more about the show. But you guys are here because you want to hear about fall camp risers and fallers. I am not the biggest fan of doing these types of streams because so much changes and so much of this we cannot even see. We cannot even attend. So before I start talking about Bernard Gooden and what he can bring this LSU defensive tackle room, it is important to note how spring and fall practices work as far as media being able to attend. Okay, so how it works is there are practice sessions where the media is able to attend the entire practice. That was yesterday. There are also practice sessions where the media is able to attend the first portion of practice, film it, but they can't attend the rest of it. So no matter what, LSU never lets you film a full practice. It is so, so, so rare that that happens. So you also have practices where media is not able to attend at all, and that will be tomorrow, and then they will have also a get-together on Saturday. So what does that mean for you, the viewer? Well, for me, I don't go to the media portions of practice. I wish I could, but I don't. I'm not able to. The second thing is, even with the media being able to attend some of the practice, it's important to note that only on the days that they could see the full practice can they actually give you meaningful commentary. So, lucky enough, once again, I'm not Mr. Adam Schefter when it comes to sources. I've gotten to know a few players and people that work at LSU, and they give me heads up on who's doing well and who's not doing well. And I think the most interesting name is Bernard Gooden. Now, why is that? Well, it is a weird dichotomy for me as a smaller defensive lineman, that a smaller defensive lineman has been really making some moves at LSU's practice, because it is so much harder to play this position if you are not at the very least 290. And I want you to take a look at Bernard Gooden. This is the LSU listed weight. He's at 268. That is not huge. But the good news is he is a fifth-year senior. He's from Florida. He played at USF. USF, over the past couple of seasons, has played a few really good SEC schools. We've already done a Bernard Gooden film study. And he's from Montgomery, Alabama. So he's always grown up probably wanting to play in the Southeastern Conference, as do most recruits and players from the South. Now, what has Bernard Gooden done? Well, the first thing is he's already cracked a very competitive defensive tackle room's too deep based on what we've seen at practice thus far. And what's interesting is if you watched our practice report from earlier where we actually did some film breakdown and actual roster breakdown, he has number 99 Sadir Mitchell working with the third team. And Mitchell is still going to play a lot. Normally 4 to 5 DTs play over the course of a game anyway. But that's tough because Sadir Mitchell had a really, really, really good spring. So this LSU defensive tackle room is so unfreaking believably fascinating that I really don't even know where to begin with it. And what's very fascinating about that is going into last year, it was by far the position that we talked about the most, the position that we felt was the weakest on LSU's team. And guess what? We're in the same damn spot because most people feel it is the weakest position on this defense as we head into the season. Now, do I think it's the weakest? Yes and no. Obviously, I am so, I guess you could say, just hurt by the way the LSU safeties played last year that I don't know exactly how I fully feel about crowning any position as a good one, if you will, but or a bad one, if you will. I will say, though, I don't know if I'm ever going to get over how bad the LSU safety room was and basically has been since the Grant Delpit era. Now, Andre Sam was fine. Greg Brooks, when he was healthy, was fine. But, man, it's Joe Fouché actually gave us some good reps in the seven games he was eligible for us in that final season. But holy crap, it is a really, really, really it's a position where you want to feel great about, but I don't know. I don't know. Now, I do want to clarify that Sadir Mitchell was running with the twos alongside Gooden yesterday, but today he was with the threes. I just don't think it's that big a deal, though. It's going to be a heavy defensive tackle rotation, especially if you factor in Dominic McKinley and Ahmad Bro. And that was actually going to be my second stock up is Dominic McKinley, because we have had, obviously, Jack Pyburn go out of his way. I say go out of his way. I actually just asked him, hey, who is standing out that we don't know about? And he said Dominic McKinley. Same thing Brian Kelly did at the press conference earlier this week. Who is standing out? He said Dominic McKinley. And I was like, okay. So we say hi to Jace Max, Tony the Tiger, Chance. Don't forget, we're not going to be live for too long tonight. We'll have our guest, and then go watch our practice report from earlier. We won't have a video tomorrow because, well, there's a lot going on for your boy, but we might crank one out for, and pause on that, Dominic McKinley's brother tomorrow will be making a college choice, and I think a lot of you are going to like his decision, and I will leave it at that. So there you go. Okay. Now, one more thing that I cannot wait to see unfold is, where does Jacoby and Guillory fit into all of this? He is the elder statesman. He's the one that's been through basically everything that you can think of as a defensive tackle. He did a really good interview recently with our friend John Eads, and John said, look, well, what's the latest? How are you feeling about Kyle Williams? And Jacoby and Guillory said, I love Kyle Williams. So it's a fascinating position group. I will give them, as far as early LSU practice risers, I do feel a little bit better about that position. I really, really, really do. One more thing, as we move on to a different position group and a few fallers, if you will. If you were to listen to as many college football preview podcasts as I have, and I have listened to quite a bit, a few things happen, all right? The first thing is, and I will say, if someone is really good at this, it is LA Mom. You know, I brag on LA Mom all the time. She's one of our biggest contributors. But the one thing I really like about her, she asks a bunch of questions, and she always looks at the game of football as something that it's impossible to know too much about. And one thing I want to issue, a PSA to all college football fans, is be very wary of people who claim to be experts of all these teams. It's impossible to be experts of all these teams in the transfer portal era. It is impossible. I heard this stat earlier from Dan Rubenstein and Ty Hildebrand of the Solid Verbal. Ty, in particular, has been a longtime friend of the show. If you guys are verballers, I can get Ty on here if you would love him to, if you would love to have him on. He said that there's five teams that have 35 new fall transfers. Five teams. 35. That is a third of your team. Brian Kelly said it himself. And I know he was kind of joking, but he was also telling you the truth. At the beginning of his press conference, it seemed bizarre, but he showed you his sheet, his roster sheet, and he said, cut me some slack. Because not only do you have all these new players that are in, Brian Kelly knows all of his players, but they shift jersey numbers and they're shifting sometimes positions and who's first team, second team, third team. Y'all, it's so hard to keep up with everything. It is so freaking hard to keep up with every last thing that's going on in the world of college football. One other side note before I get to this point about LA Mom is, and I couldn't believe this. Did you know that Derek Davis, top 50 recruit, is still playing? He is still playing college football, had a season-ending injury. He was a safety for LSU. He moved to running back. He has still been a running back. Last year, Pitt gave him 27 carries. He gained 50 yards on 27 carries. And he just had an injury and he's out for the season. So we're still going through this COVID era where everybody's still got eligibility left. We're going through all these laws where a bunch of these JUCO kids are getting extra eligibility. Y'all, it is impossible. Unless you look at this stuff every day, unless you are Phil Steele, it is impossible for you to know everything you need to know about every single roster. They're too deep in all of that. Okay. Now, most of you know LSU's too deep. And I would say most of you that watch this channel, and like I always say, I don't mind casual LSU football fans watching PHL. All right. I love all different types of LSU football fans who kind of like it, to love it. But based on my analytics, I would tell you that most people just really, really, really love it because we go so deep talking about this stuff, right? Y'all, there's so much stuff that we don't know, okay? So it's important to be very patient with knowledge and trying to figure out who's where with this LSU roster when it comes to risers and fallers, right? But if I were to pick a faller, and faller is used like subjectively, I don't really think anyone has really fallen or risen, if you will, outside of Bernard Gooden. I mean, it is something that I've gotten a few texts that this guy is doing some good things. It's Nick Anderson. I'm trying to piece how this is going to work out. And the weird thing is with Nick Anderson in particular, sometimes if your numbers go down, it does not mean that you're playing bad. Sometimes when you don't play, it does not mean you're not good. Andy Staples talked about this yesterday in our interview with him. We talked about Jameson Williams at Ohio State, Drew Sanders at Alabama, so on and so on. So Nick Anderson joined a very competitive wide receiver room. He probably didn't know at the time that Destin Hill was also going to join this room. It's hard, and he is still coming off injury. He did not play a snap of football all last year. The reason why I bring him up, though, is there are so many people that don't follow LSU every single day that put him in top 10 wide receiver list in all of college football. PFF, top 10 NFL draft wide receivers to watch. Nick Anderson. So, just because he might be ramped up slowly, does not mean he's not good, or does that mean he's not really, you know, part of what LSU's doing. The thing that is interesting, though, about Nick is if there is an offense that could work him in, it's LSU. There is not a better offense to be a part of as a wide receiver than LSU's offense because Garrett throws. He throws a football a lot. He does not run. He looks to find the open guy. Now, a few other things. I wouldn't necessarily call Nick Anderson a faller, but understand that this room is very, 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 very freaking competitive. Okay. Now, another riser. And this is one that I did not think I would be saying at this juncture. This is a very kind of square opinion because the media was able to witness this unfold. But Aaron Burrell has a special leg. I would say outside of Avery Atkins, there has not been a more powerful leg, maybe Cade York at LSU, than Aaron Burrell's. Aaron Burrell has a freaking bazooka. And he is extremely athletic. He tackled Zachariah Branch in the open field last year. It wasn't your typical kicker run the returner out of bounds. He was dead center, and he tackled Zachariah Branch. And holy crap, this kid has real juice. Ramos had a tough day during the media portion. He's still going to be the field goal kicker. But, man, that kid has a freaking leg. Holy crap. It's interesting. Because when you think of kickers, what's often ironic about the kicker position is oftentimes they're some of the most athletic people on your team. They're just not big enough to play like an actual position, right? Like you would think kickers are like literally last guy on the bench. Aaron Burrell has a lot of open field tackles. Aaron Burrell was a better open field tackler than Sage Ryan last year. And that was when he wasn't booting the ball through the back of the end zone. Like, kickers are good looking now too. Don't ask me. Don't ask me. The freaking president just said that. Yes. DJT said, look back at Harrison Butker and said, well, you are a good looking dude. And I'm not making a political statement either. But kickers used to be pudgy, ugly. I remember Sebastian Janikowski. That's what kickers used to look like. Now kickers are freaking jacked. I know this isn't a kicker, but a punter in Thomas Morstead is one of the most athletic people I've ever seen in my life. Kickers are jacked. Kickers and punters, they're ridiculously athletic. So Aaron Burrell is special. He is special. He's not going to be the field goal kicker, though. I will say, just throwing this out of here, I am not the LSU head coach, Brian Kelly. It's not me. I would love to see Aaron Burrell. If we need a 60-yarder and it's a last-ditch effort, give him a shot. Give him a freaking shot. Okay? I love it. And I will say, Dex was at the LSU spring game, and he said, Carter, dude, this dude is blasting 65 yarders. I'm telling you. So I did not think when I was making phone calls, going through practice notes, I did not think that I would get kicker information, if you will. Okay. Now, let's talk about another potential faller. And I do think when using the term faller, you need to come into this with a very, very, very open mind. All right. But the spring offensive line really took a hit. And I know a lot of those people on that spring starting offensive line, they're team first kinds of guys. But it does kind of suck to go through all of spring, go through all of those reps, and then when fall comes around, there's a lot of movement, if you will. And it was kind of known that that movement was going to happen. But, you know, in spring, there were some that thought Bo Bordelon and Cohen Eccles would play. I think Eccles in particular will play. And I think Bo Bordelon will continue to be a blocking kind of swing tight end, if you will. But I would also say that LSU really, really, really needs somebody to be the third offensive tackle. LSU is a team full of guards right now. And while that is fine, you can find guards. Of the offensive line positions, that is the easiest to find. Tackles are where it's hard. So, in theory, you have two players that will start at offensive tackle that you feel pretty comfortable about if you were to just look at their raw recruiting ranking. Tyree Adams going into year three, he was a comfortable four-star, not elite top 100 four-star out of New Orleans at left tackle. And then you have Weston Davis, top 100 five-star basketball stud, and he is starting at right tackle. That is probably going to be your starting offensive line. I at this point, if I were to say who I feel more comfortable about, I would say it's Tyree. But obviously, Weston Davis has a ton of potential. You know, when he got to LSU, he wasn't the biggest guy, which is fine. But you got to cross your fingers at an offensive tackle. At guard, you know, we'll see. You know, one thing I think LSU fans need to be prepared for is it would not shock me if Kerryus Kearns starts early at some point, but it won't be a guard. I could see LSU say, look, we're in trouble at offensive tackle. Let's just stick our best athlete on our offensive line out there at offensive tackle. And let you see what he can do. I cannot state it enough. I felt weird doing it because I've talked to Kerryus a few times, and I'm really high on DJ Pickett. It was crazy that I came to my final conclusion that Kerryus Kearns is, to me, the best recruit in this class. Okay? I mean, athletically, out of high school, holy crap. You just don't see this every day. And he's a different type of athletic than someone like a Will Campbell, if you will. I mean, holy crap. I have said it a gazillion times. I think Kerryus Kearns could play defensive line at so many different schools, right? And a lot of these modern offensive linemen are guys that you're like, that also play defensive line and they're just freaks, right? Darius Gray is one that LSU's trying to get. They just got Lamar Brown for 2026, where they're chiseled. I mean, they don't look like offensive linemen. But I cannot 1,000% say Kerryus Kearns is going to be a stud offensive lineman. But what I can tell you is athletically, he is definitely in my top five, like most athletic high school offensive lineman I've ever seen coming to LSU. It really is that special. Saw it in person last year too, just mauling kids in Arkansas. Okay. Now, we do get a donation here. Who is this from? Julie, thank you so much. Really appreciate that. I do think this is important. I was going to save it towards the end, but it is breaking news, and one of y'all just texted me. It is Jaden Daniels related. Terry McLaurin has requested a trade. I don't think that they trade him. They're just going to pay him. It's just that simple. The Commanders are in a Super Bowl window right now. That I wouldn't worry about it. But, you know, the thing about Jaden Daniels was, yeah, you have Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas Jr. But to me, Jaden is the ultimate team-first quarterback where it doesn't really matter who he has a wide receiver, right? You know, Deebo Samuel looked washed. And everyone's like, well, Deebo's washed. And he's not good anymore. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Do you have two legs? Yes. Are you a good football player? Yes. Deebo Samuel has both legs, and he is a good football player. Might be a little washed. When you have Jaden Daniels at quarterback, he can make you look good. It is amazing that the Commanders are also known as the Pigs, the Hogs. Jaden Daniels puts lipsticks on pigs. And if you're younger, you've never heard that phrase before. But if you're older, you remember that. So I'm not worried about that at all. Jaden Daniels, MVP, lock it in. Let's take a few more before we go to our first break and guest. You know, in our practice report, we were talking about, you know, split zone tight ends and all of that, the plays and how you can use counter and all of that. You know, the one thing I took from the Jack Pyburn interview is Jack is a very technical player, but you could actually listen to him and he says, like, it doesn't really matter. Just go out there and make plays. And, you know, in our Discord, patreon.com/LSU football, you know, everyone's like, what about Joe Sloan? What about Joe Sloan? How's Joe Sloan going to do? Jack Pyburn would say, hey, I don't give a damn. We need to go out there and make plays. So we broke down some of the designs LSU's been working on in our practice report from earlier. Okay. So there you go. All right. Don't forget, it is now official. This just was announced. I will be set up at the Shreveport Card Show this Saturday. It is going down. Pierce has come to every single one of the card show get-togethers that we've done. We are going to have on in just a moment the man who has started the Shreveport Card Show experience. And yeah, we're going to be doing a few giveaways and all that good stuff, okay? But first, are you missing that sweet swing? If pain is holding your golf game back, you must check out the full simulator at the Lafayette location of Laborde Therapy Center. Yes, Chase and his team built this simulator to go along with a full set of programs catered to your needs. Yes, this entire team at Laborde Therapy worked hard to fix that back, your elbow, shoulders, wrists, knees, toes. It doesn't matter. At their Lafayette location, 337-981-4053. Call today. But what if you don't golf? And what if you don't live in Lafayette? No problem. They fix anything therapy related. Book today, LaborDeTherapy.com, with locations in Carncrow, Youngsville, Morgan City, and Crowley. LaborDeTherapy.com, LaborDe Therapy.com. Let's go.
Let's go.
On a journey together with Zion Imaging. I want you to see this experience up close. And me as a wedding and event DJ, I watched how everybody had so much fun with Zion Imaging. And a big reason for their success is the team. Yes, Jaron Thomas and his family started this off as a passion project, and they have one simple goal in mind: taking your event to the next level. Whether it's a wedding, reunion, quinceañera, school, or corporate event, Zion Imaging is all about family-friendly fun. And I gotta show you on this tour the high-level technology that quickly sends your video session to your phone, whether it's iPhone or Android. Yes, it's the Zion Imaging 360 Spin Booth experience serving North Texas, North Louisiana, South Arkansas, Orlando, and more. Give us a call, 318-469-4265. Check us out on Facebook or book us at Zion Imaging, xyanimaging.com. All righty, so Zion based in Shreveport. Love it. There we go. Shreveport Card Show. Colvin Robertson.
What's up, man?
It's going down.
It's going Saturday. Down for sure. Yeah. Saturday and Sunday.
So first time I did it, tons of people coming around. I know it's kind of last second for us to show up there, but give people a little insight of all the different LSU football items that you guys will have at the show this weekend.
You name it, really, the full gamut. You want cards, you want signed mini helmets, footballs. We have Skip Bertman signed helmets. We got, you know, you name it. So Joe Burrow jerseys. We have a whole box full of former LSU Tigers autographs. So we you name it. If you're looking for it, LSU, you can find it this weekend.
There we go. And yes, I will be set up. Hopefully right next to you, to you, Cole. It don't matter. Just put me in there somewhere.
We'll get you in there for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Look, one of my favorite things, you know, outside of like the selling and trading and all of it, it's just this show going into football season, Cole. This is the best time to find some football cards. I think we lost him. It's all good. Just usually I'm quiet. Let's see. He told me before he jumped on that his power just went out. But yes, I will be set up at this show. There he is.
Hey, I had a call come through. Sorry about that. People are blowing me up about the show, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's good. That's a good thing.
That's a good thing, yeah. Sorry about that. Go ahead.
But yes, I mean, this is a time, and it's funny because you can get yourself some Garrett Nussmeier cards with NIL.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Caden Durham, you know, one guy that has a lot of cards out is Harlan Berry, actually.
Yeah. I've tried to pick up a few. There's a lot of local kids that have cards. I had a Nussmeier. I've had a few Nussmeiers come through. They don't stay very long. Kyron Lacy, rest in peace. He had some cards. So they definitely, with NIL, they're able to make some money. They're getting some cards out. I mean, there's a kid that plays for Evangel up here that's a sophomore that has some cards, sophomore in high school. So NIL's, it's a wild time for sure.
Yeah, Peyton Houston.
Peyton Houston, right.
It's so interesting. Let's just say Joe Schmo is watching this, and our mutual friend Ty Christiana is always really good at is really good at answering this question. Let's say Joe Schmo is like, "Hey, Colvin, you're the sports collecting expert.
Yeah,
and I want to get a Paul Skeens card or a Dylan Cruz card. What advice would you give them? And when it comes to just getting any collector's piece of their favorite LSU athlete?
Right now, it's probably a tough time to buy Skeens. His stuff's high. Cruz is a good time to buy Cruz. I think Dylan Cruz is going to be a superstar. With him being on the shelf a little bit right now, you know, his stuff's a little bit down. So if you're looking to sneak something this weekend at the Shreveport Card Show, find you a Dylan Cruz. Get you Dylan Cruz Bowman Chrome first. That's his top card. If you're asking for recommendations, I'd tell you to stay away from Panini because Panini doesn't have MLB licensing.
Yeah.
So if you're going to invest in something, invest in a Topps product, get a Bowman Chrome. something like that of your favorite guy. But Skeens is expensive. Cruise is a little down, but if you want it, you can find it. There's going to be some. I got a buddy of mine that's bringing a Super Fractor, one of one Paul Skeens, to the show this weekend. So there'll be plenty on the tables to pick up if you're interested.
Wow. Yeah. So I would guess Super Fractor, Paul Skeens. I would guess it's minimum 20K minimum.
No. I think this one, I don't think it's autographed. So, I mean, you might be able to sneak this one. I would imagine if I had to price it, I'd say you could probably ask for 8, take 6 or 5. So, I mean, if you're in the market for a one of one Paul Skeens, you know, bring a rack with you to the card show and you can pick it up, you know?
Yeah, I think that's a big thing though, is like not to get too intimidated, because there will be like some huge Joe Burrow cards and stuff like that.
For sure. Yeah.
You can, like, I remember when we first met at one of Ty's shows, I picked up a Jason Kelce card in one of your dollar boxes.
Yeah.
And I went to comp it. I was like, oh, this is a $10-15 card.
You just never know. And that's the beauty of the show. The best part about this, you know, I got back into this to get card shows back in the area. We had them when I was younger. We had them probably 15, 20 years ago, and then they just stopped. So now we're 4 years into to bringing shows back to Shreveport. You never know what you're going to find at shows. Dig through the boxes, talk to the people, make you some friends, make you some, you know, because, I mean, a lot of these people I'll be friends with probably for the rest of my life, because I've invested in the card game with them, you know, and I've allowed, you know, I've got a lot of people back into it. I have a whole bunch of people mad at me because I got them back into cards, and now their wallets are a little light. So it's the best part of it though, man, hanging out with the people and seeing the kids come through. Kids get in free. So, I mean, there's no reason not to bring your kid. Kids get in free. If you wear a jersey, you get in free, and then military, fire, and police personnel get in free. So other than that, it's a whole $2.
$2 US dollars.
$2 US dollars. If you can bring me a $2 bill, that's even better. So
that's it. Yeah. You want to talk about rarity, huh?
Right. That's it.
Folks, it's going to be a lot of fun. It's also on Sunday, but Saturday is a big day. That's the day that I will be there. I will not be there Sunday, but
Saturday's the big day. Yep.
I highly recommend you come. I highly recommend you bring cash.
We have an ATM, but yeah, people love cash.
Yes. Including myself. But show up is going to be absolutely awesome. And something else is, if you need help with a deal, let's just say like you're a fan of the channel and you don't know anything about cards and you just want to buy something.
Yeah.
Go see Colvin, go see me. We can help you out.
And that's it. As soon as you walk in, you'll hear Carter. You'll see me. It's going to be easy to, you know, as soon as you walk in, I'll be right there to the right. I'm 6'8" with this big old beard, so I'm easy to spot. I'll answer a million questions. That's the best part of it. So I can't wait, man. Tomorrow's a full day, and Saturday and Sunday are going to be the big days.
You never know who shows up though. You that, like, athletes love coming to this thing, especially on an hour. They just want to look. Who's the biggest name that ever came to one of your shows?
That's come to my show. We've had guys come through. He might not be the name that everybody knows just yet, but Jack Smith went to Loyola here. He is the number one ranked golfer on the World Long Drive Tour.
Oh, cool. So like
he's from Shreveport. Right. The guys that get out there and just crush it 400 yards. Jack Smith, actually, I had him come through a couple shows ago. Unassuming kid, but he's the number one ranked long drive golfer in the world. So we're working on some things for, I don't know if you've teased anybody about January.
Yeah, I was going to work.
We're working on some things for January that I think is going to get a whole bunch of people in the building. So
yeah, so January 2nd is going to be like your huge, ginormous.
3rd and 4th, yeah. January 3rd and 4th.
3rd and 4th.
That's okay. That one's going to be at the Shreveport Convention Center, and that one's going to be this show we do is 115 tables every time, so we got 115 sold out for this weekend, 68 vendors. The show in January is 350 tables.
Dang.
At the Shreveport Convention Center. So that one's going to be, and so that one, you're looking at, you've already got PBJ, Philip Barbary Jr. is already signed on to come sign autographs.
No.
I'll have the LSUS baseball players there, but we're working on a Hall of Famer. And so we're going to see if we can get some people in the door that's going to move the needle a little bit. So stay tuned for that.
Well, yeah. Hopefully I can move the needle a little bit.
Sure. Yeah. If you want to come hang out and do live shows, invitation's always there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, make sure you go Shreveport Card Show this hour. You can get it on social media. You could reach out to Colin. Everywhere. You can also message me and I can help you with all of it. Get there early though, because it is important, because early, that's the max inventory you're going to get.
For sure.
And you never know, what could leave. Colin, I appreciate your passion for this. You've built this
problem.
I saw how passionate you are about the hobby. And for those who don't know, the biggest card show on the planet is actually happening in Chicago.
Right.
And you said F that. You said
I always do. I always do. I'm not worried about the National. One thing is, the National is cool to go to. It's one of those things you go to once or twice if you can. I was fortunate when I was a kid. We went to it for about 5 years straight. Not everybody can make a trip to Chicago, but you know what you can do is you can make a lot cheaper trip to Shreveport. So, if you can't make it to the National and you got the itch to come hang out with some people that enjoy sports cards, Shreveport, Louisiana is right down the street, and we got 115 tables, and we're going to have a lot of cool stuff. So it's a good time.
All right, Colvin. We'll talk to you soon, man.
Right,
thank you so much.
All right, man. Yes, sir. Appreciate you having me.
Once again, Shreveport Card Show. It is going down, baby. PHL will be set up, and I will be giving out LSU cards. Everybody that mentions PHL, you get an LSU card. I got a whole box of them right here.
Okay.
Sonia Citron, I'll buy it from you, Jace Max. Bring it. I'm kidding. I is that the shooting guard for the Washington Mystics? Okay. Let's see what all we got here. All right. Who wants a Leonard Fournette? Fournette, Deion Jones, Jarvis Landry. Got a lot of Leonard Fournette cards. And there you go. Now, back to your spring questions. Aaron Anderson, I do not know. I would like to think it's not serious. Because, boy, I spent way too long cutting that hour-long film study on Aaron Anderson. I'm going to be honest. I don't know a whole lot of what's going on. Tennessee Homer, don't know that story, but we'll never forget the 117 bear long ball. Randy in the house. Let's go. I want to touch on the mile per hour stuff, okay? So, the truth is, when you see players with that catapult bra on, okay, that is a tracking device, right? That's tracking how fast you are moving, okay? I don't think, for me, that you should get too carried away with any number that's brought up there, because your max mile per hour is not as important as how long you can keep that mile per hour up. I will say, though, Garrett as a quarterback hitting 21 is really impressive. Also, one thing I do feel is important is, let's say someone like Michael Penix, who never runs, he never scrambles. He ran a 4.5, which is really freaking fast for a quarterback. 4.5, you are flying. Like, that is a faster 40-yard dash than what Jarvis Landry and Cooper Kupp ran. But just because you run fast doesn't mean you're actually going to run more. But I do think, and I do know, that Garrett has worked on his body to be ready and to be more willing to actually take off and run.
Okay.
Yes, Alexander, I have seen that. Yeah, he's got Clemson fans fired the frick up. Look, I personally understood what he was doing. I believe what he was doing was more so, he said, let's just run TJ, it was something like run TJ Parker, their star defensive end. Let's just hit him straight in the mouth. I do think his major point, though, that he was making, and I didn't get to see the full clips. I don't want to speak about him out of context. He's my best friend, obviously. What is important, though, is he truly believes LSU can run the football on Clemson. And guess what? I do, too. I think LSU can run the football on Clemson. But that is more so in theory than it is in my actual belief in it. Because it's more so that I think the Clemson run defense is something that can be had, if you will. Louisville pushed them around a little bit. Texas pushed them around a lot. Well, Louisville always has good running backs and rushing attacks, and Clemson was just overmatched on the road versus Texas, who had a really good offensive line and a left tackle go in the first round. So, you know, for me, I don't know if we have the dudes to really take advantage of it, and I know that seems counterintuitive. If you have a front seven as loaded as Clemson's, how on earth can you run the football on them? Well, it's one of those things where, like, not every, you think every point guard in the NBA can shoot free throws. Not every single one can. You know, there's plenty that have bad free throw percentages. I wanted to also show this from On3, and this isn't like an On3 exclusive or anything like that, but this is why I think going into this game, LSU is just under so much more pressure than Clemson. This blew me away. I'm not going to lie. This blew me the frick away. Preseason All-ACC team was announced today. Take a look at this. Quarterback, Clemson. Running backs, Louisville, Georgia Tech. Wide receivers, 2 out of 3, Clemson. Tight end, NC State. All-purpose, Pitt. Offensive line, 3 out of 5 offensive line, all ACC, Clemson. Defensive line, 2 out of 4 defensive linemen, Clemson. Linebacker, 2 out of 3, Clemson. Secondary, 1 out of 4, Clemson. So on all three levels of the offense, in all three levels of the defense, Clemson has all ACC players. Now, I know offense doesn't have levels, but they have 4 different positions and 3 different position groups on offense having all ACC level players. So why does this put more pressure on LSU in this game? Well, it shows you how much stronger the SEC is than the ACC. You will never see an SEC team have 46% of the all-conference preseason team. It'll never happen. ACC, you could see that happen because it's a weaker league. So this is a loaded team. This is a loaded team. And I would never lead you astray. Before the 2023 Florida State game, what did I tell you? I looked at you in the face and I said, this team is really, really, really good. Before the USC game last year, what did I tell you? This team is really good, but it's not special. It is not Florida State. And what happened? USC was an above average team. Now, their analytics probably say that they were closer to an 8-4-ish, 9-3-ish type of team, but they weren't that great, and we should have beat them. Is there a world where this Clemson team is better than Florida State in 2023? Yes. Do I feel that? No. I thought 2023 Florida State was a special, special group. And I did the fan thing and said, hey, I am picking LSU to be Florida State. Because I was high on Jaden and Malik and everyone going into that game. But I was like, I could definitely see Florida State winning this game. I gave LSU a 60% chance of winning that game. This year, I'm giving Clemson, I would say 60% of the time they win this game versus LSU. 60 to 65% of the time. They're at home. And I understand that Moore would say that there's more pressure on Clemson to win this game because they are at home. Now, here's the thing, and this is very, very, very important. There is more pressure on Clemson when it comes to conference supremacy because the season opening week features a lot of ACC versus SEC teams. And one thing that could come to be with the College Football Playoff Committee is, let's just say the ACC sucks again this year. And it comes down to SMU or Alabama for that final playoff slot. The playoff committee is not putting SMU in. In fact, they felt like they needed to, but they lost a metric F-load of money because of it. Because Alabama, who's the biggest brand in the sport, was left out. And Alabama would have put up a better game versus Penn State. Or at least I think they would have. Yeah, Mike, I wouldn't be too worried. I wouldn't like, I wouldn't just lose total sleep over it, though. I'm serious. Like, I wouldn't just say, hey, this is the end all be all. Now, here's what we're going to do. Next 5 to 10 minutes, we'll answer as many as we possibly can. If you super chat, we'll keep this party moving. Brandon says Ramos is probably more consistent. Yeah, and he's just more experienced, right? You know, this is a rare 4-year starter at kicker. I need one of these inside of my house. I really, really, really do. Look at this.
Boys are back in town. Let's go.
That is an insane facility. That is insane.
Boys are back in town. Let's go.
I don't know what it is, though. Like, I love the color purple. Most of the teams I've played on growing up were purple teams. Purple and orange just always seemed like a lot, though. It is a lot. And that's a good and a bad thing, right? Purple and gold, it's just perfect. Purple and orange feels like vomit. Like, it just does, all right? It's not the worst. It's better than being red and white. Good to have Jordan back. I feel like it's almost better that Clemson is getting more of the hype. I'm excited to see how LSU plays when they are coming in as the underdog. Yeah. Clear underdog. Clear. Oh, God. This is never the message you want to get. And I'm not kidding. I kind of want to move the stream to this. So you remember earlier we were talking about Colvin's electricity being out and all of that. But Haley just texted me and said, when I open this door, our floor is covered in sewage. Our toilet is clogged. And it's a bad one, okay? Just to show you, I'm not fronting. I do not want to walk out into that monstrosity. Yeah, I somebody get me a freaking raft. I mean, goodness gracious. I thought my life was going to be picture perfect. Okay. Here we go. Rate this plunger on a scale of 1 to 10. Does that look like it's some good plunge? Is that some good plunge material? Talk about a situation. No, I do not want to walk out. I don't. Oh, you gave that plunge a 5 out of 10? Oh, man. I'm begging the toilet gods to be kind to me so I could start getting football checks again. Nah, there's no odor. Mike says, stay in your room. It's horrible. You gave a 2 out of 10 on the plunge? Or 1 out of 5 on the plunge? See, I can do fractions. My 2.7 LSU GPA is good enough for that. But yes. A few other practice notes before we go. Barry and Brown is still doing really big things. This was kind of like behind the scenes, but Barry and Brown has really pushed this room, right? And it's interesting how that works, right? There are three pretty big time NFL draft level players that have plenty of options in the portal, who still have theoretically 2 years of eligibility left, but they only have 1 year of that eligibility. They have 2 years to play one. And those three guys have been three of the big-time leaders on this team. Mansoor Delane, Berrien Brown, and Jack Piper. And I do find it interesting, and this was a point I made in spring. They really pushed Berrien Brown out into the media. They've really been promoting him heavily. So, there you go. No worries, Jared. No worries, Jared. We only got a bathroom situation here. We have a video earlier for you guys to watch as well. So, I need to go handle this. And I want to say thanks to LA Mom, our top super chatter. And once again, please, if you're in the Lafayette region, our friends at Laborde Therapy Center, Youngsville, Karen Crow, Morgan City, five different locations. Get to it. Get to it right now. Don't put off your health. Laborde Therapy and LaboredTherapy.com. They have the easiest online booking situation as well. Because, you know, when we were going through, you know, because we are an online business, I wanted to have someone hop on that has an easy-to-use website. LaboredTherapy.com. Once again, LaboredTherapy.com. There you go. Another donation here. Jared, thank you so much. Really appreciate it. So we'll keep it going for a little bit since Jared just joined. Jason Max, I'm looking forward to meeting you on Saturday. I really am. It's going to be a fun show, man. It's going to be a really, really, really fun show. You know, as far as some other practice things, another guy that is fascinating is Teron Francis. He wears number 83. Teron Francis, Phillip Wright, wide receivers that are new. I want to go, and I'm going to save this for more of a Patreon conversation, but I have had some of you reach out, you know, criticizing Cortez Hankton because we've not had any of the wide receivers he recruited like really stand out, right? Guys that he signed. But my retort to that would be, number one, LSU is always going to be loaded at wide receiver, so it's not that big of a deal. And then the second thing is Georgia's wide receiver room has spiraled since he has left. And then number three is there have been so many busts at wide receiver. Now, you don't think that. Because Jeremiah Smith and Ryan Williams exist. But in the recruiting class before theirs, there has been quite a few busts. Yeah. So there you go. Now, this is a good point by Jared. So sometimes I will release a video and do a live stream on the same day. Unless I announce it in our Discord or publicly, we are live every Tuesday, every Wednesday, every Thursday at 6 Central, all right? And I like to normally be out by 7, but we can bleed over from time to time. And then on Sundays, we are live at 6 p.m. as well. Sometimes we move it to 7. Obviously, with Film Study Sunday coming up, it'll probably get pushed back to 8 from time to time. But there you go. Yes, Discord is for patrons. But Jay Smax, hit me up. PowerHourLSU@gmail.com. I can help you get that set up, man. But you should join. I mean, there was a really passionate, and Haley just messaged me, are you still alive? Get to fixing this damn toilet. That's not what she said. You just rebuilt a toilet, so I need to hit you up, Jared. All right, y'all. That will do it for me. If you want another live stream to go to, as always, I'm going to shout out my buddy AYS. I think he's live now. I don't know. Also, if you want actual film study breakdown, check out my practice breakdown from earlier today where we go deeper into detail some of the thoughts. And I left one freshman's name that I feel is making headways. And I'll go on and say it. It's CJ Jimquiley, a hybrid safety linebacker type from Tennessee. All right. Well, he played high school football in Tennessee. He's not a transfer. So if you want to learn more about him, go to our practice breakdown from earlier. It is. Pow. Ow. LSU. Boom. See you this Saturday. Brian Early, Shreveport Card Show. Let's go. Ha, ha, ha.